LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 739. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, the co-host of the show, to start with Paris.
Happy anniversary, Danny. Happy anniversary, Gamertag Radio. 13 years as of this recording, and, you know, it's an amazing accomplishment, man. And I say you, I'm not putting myself in this. I would not be here without you. You inspired me all those years ago. You were my friend. Despite us not, you helped me become a podcaster, number one. You became my friend over the years. We were great friends, and it just so happened, things worked out, and I became a part of GTR 5 years ago, I think. We're coming up on that. Crazy that it's been that amount of time. And it's been great, man. You and Pete have quickly become some of my best friends in the world, and it's all because of you having the vision to start this podcast 13 years ago, and I thank you. How about that? How about that? I was an angry son of a gun like 2 seconds ago, then I was nice. On the show. How about that?
No, but thank you. Thank you for saying those things and also joining GTR. It feels like it was longer than 5 years ago.
I know, it really does. It's crazy, right? Dude. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, and also Pete is in the house too, man.
What's
Pete,
up, man? It feels
happy
like
anniversary,
it,
man.
Happy anniversary! It feels like I just saw you the other day, man.
Dude, that was a lot of fun. We got to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, we'll delve a little later. Bit into that. But yeah, man, congrats to you, to us, to everybody that came before us. Obviously, you know, like feels good, you know, and everybody else that was on the show or part of the Gamertag Radio family. It's been an amazing ride. It's been an amazing ride. It's just been so cool to be a part of this. So,
can I say one thing, Danny, before you go on, because Pete mentioned Feels Good. My all-time memory of Feels Good, I will remember this to the day I die, is losing him in West Hollywood. I will never forget that.
Oh my God.
And then
nervous
he just
too.
Randomly showed up the next day. I will never forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty scary. He was right behind me, and we walked out. We said what's up to like a couple people that were going to the event. So then I turned around, like, where's Feels Good? Where is he? And I'm like, Paris, you know where he's at? He's like, I don't know. I was in the front. Yo, we couldn't find him for hours, man. Crazy, crazy. Yeah, we have some great memories, man. Back then, man, with all the like past events, especially E3 events, man. Really cool. Was there any events that stood out to you from back then, us attending, and some crazy stuff happened behind the scenes, or maybe anything funny? Do you remember any of them?
I want to say, was that E3 2011? It was the E3 they debuted Halo 4, whatever year that was. I just remember, and you have this on video, actually, Mandy and I walking the streets of L.A. arguing about the future of consoles and gaming and where it's all going to go. And it's like, if you go back and watch this stuff now, it's pretty hilarious, actually, because some stuff I was right on, some stuff she was right on, but then some other things we were way to frick off where we are right now. but that was great just to have that kind of debate. Those are the things that I have the memory of dealing with, you know, GTR over the years. And I wasn't even a part of GTR back then. So whenever we get together, we would always just have a great time. And we could always have these, not arguments, but these big discussions about where we thought gaming was going to go, or what we expected to see at E3 that year, or whatever the case may be. But it always just felt normal to hang out with you guys. And that's why I said it's so ironic that, you know, we're all one family now under GTR, but we were already family even back then. You know, I even take it back to 2008 when I first met Pete, and that was at CES, and, you know, we're hanging out, and we, the first time we ever met each other, and it just, boom, it just clicked instantly. It's just like, it was just natural. You know what I mean? And the whole In and Out thing where Exclusive was born, and that video is online somewhere too. And just all that stuff, man. It was great.
Yeah. And what about you, P? Any memories from back then? I think to me was Pete going to E3, but he had a broken leg or something?
Broken ankle. Yeah, walking around. Well, not even walking, just being pushed around in a wheelchair all through E3, Mandy running me into cracks in the sidewalk, and, you know, we're falling on the ground. There's so many memories. It's hard to compress 13 years. I mean, well, for me, it'd be, what, 10, 11 years almost? Mm-hmm. It's hard to compress that amount of time into like your favorites, the most memorable. I have to say that first E3 with my broken ankle. Hell, day I first met you, obviously, in your backyard with your screen up and, you know, playing Guitar Hero.
Very classic.
Yeah. One of our anniversaries in my living room, we recorded it, me, you, and Aunt.
Oh, yeah. Allie came with your wife. Cake. She came in with a cake and everything, surprised. Well, you knew about it, but I didn't know.
Coming out with like the sparklers and the whole nine.
Yeah.
Obviously, like Paris had mentioned, CES. It's funny, there's a picture of us. Like, we're all downstairs. I want to say it was the New York Hotel, Paris.
It was. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and we're all just like chatting there. My wife reaches into her bag and she's like, "Oh, look, I still have money left over," and it's like 2 cents from all her winnings. And then it's just so many things. And obviously, you know, when we formed like Voltron, and then this thing just whole thing exploded with CBS. I remember distinctly, I was at Queen City Barbecue in Charlotte when the CBS thing happened, and the two of you were blowing up my phone. I was like working and I couldn't take up the call. And then I finally had an opportunity to see it or to finally hear all the details of it. I was just like, I was in shock. I was like, there's no way. This isn't real. And then, it's just been amazing. It's just to see everything that's just exploded and popped off on the show, over the years, to be a part of it, to watch it grow. It's been amazing.
You know which one was one of my favorite moments? We were working on getting ready for Community Vibes, our anniversary party here in Miami, Florida. And then I don't know what happened. I was just curious to see, you know, if there was any media outlets talking about us and everything. So I just put up Gamertag Radio, or I just put Community Vibes Google, and then I hit up Pete, because I'm like, Pete, I can't believe this. Miami New Times named us the number one Super Bowl party. And I remember that Pete was with Phoenix. I think you guys were driving, or you went to pick up the U-Haul truck.
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah. And I was like, Pete, put me on speaker, because I want Phoenix to hear this too. And I mentioned to Pete what happened. Man, that was like the most craziest moment. I was so nervous. Like the next day, I was freaking out because I didn't want our party to suck and all that, because, man, dude, one of the biggest newspapers here in Miami said that our party was the number one Super Bowl party for that weekend. Dude, I was just nervous as hell, man. Super nervous. But at the same time, I was like, man, I can't believe that an indie podcast managed to do that. You know what I'm saying? So we've done some cool stuff like that, man, in the past, man, that forever I'm gonna remember that, man. Super cool. All right, so we have a lot of things to talk about. Fan mail, of course. This is our anniversary special, so it's going to be strictly fan mail. That's it, strictly fan mail. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or go to radio.com and listen to our past episodes there. And make sure to share it. Tell people about GTR. And you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to... to review us if you get the chance. If you have Apple Podcasts, post a review and it will help us out big time. Also, tonight, well, by the time you listen to this, our documentary is already going to be out. So make sure to go to our Twitch channel to watch it, or YouTube. Go over there and just search Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, and it's going to be available out for sure. So if you're watching this stream right now, the movie is going to be available tonight live, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. So make sure to tune in. Get your popcorns ready. Get your drinks ready. Let's watch it together. And I believe Twitch is going to feature it also on the front page. So I'm very, very excited about that. So
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So we have some fan mail questions and everything. And I think we should start the show with that, man. You want to play the first audio. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Serving it up. Give me 1 second. I have them, but for some reason, VLC threw them all up in a different order. So,
All right. Well, while he's searching for that, since you got to edit this out anyways, I just want to point out that ever since I mentioned Keon having that long ass voicemail, I swear to God, every week someone's tried to top it and we got a new contender this week. Good googly movie. Awesome, man.
Now, but shout out while P is fixing this up. Shout out to Tanya, also Arctic, Mandy, everybody, all the mods, everybody's helping us out with Discord and also Twitch. You guys are awesome. Just want to say thank you.
Yo, hey, here dude, we go. Voicemail number one.
Okay. All right, let's go.
Hey, guys. This is Casey from Montana. I'm just calling out to see if you guys think that there's a potential for maybe a touchscreen reaching the next generation consoles on the controller. I would see more Sony doing this since they already have the touchpad and not Microsoft. Me and my friends would kind of talk about the touchpad itself and kind of how it wasn't really utilized very much and kind of saw it as, I wouldn't say a failure, but really just not really that great. So I'm kind of curious to see maybe they take the next step up and make it a touch screen. Granted, they'd have to make the controller, I kind of thought about make the controller slightly wider horizontally, which wouldn't really actually take away from the controller itself. So I could see them doing that and maybe, you know, move around the options button and the share button or maybe put it on the screen itself. But, you know, they really expand, they could figure out how to make the controller expand just a little bit so you can have a bigger screen. Because if they just had a touchpad screen, that would be terrible since it's so tiny. But, you know, that's kind of their job to figure that stuff out. You know, we're kind of thinking of what it could be used just outside of gaming itself. You know, we'd be curious to see what the developers do, but more outside of gaming, like maybe be able to adjust headset volume or, you know, maybe even change your Spotify. Because I think that'd be really useful to have something on there because they already have a Spotify app on the PlayStation. So, you know, I just kind of want to see what your thoughts are if, you know, something like this could eventually work. Because I'd be kind of curious to see. I don't think it's going to happen myself, but, you know, I think at some point it will. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Cool. So thank you for the first voicemail. Touchscreen on your next console. Thoughts?
I mean, Nintendo did it with the Wii U, and that was kind of a failure.
Yeah, we saw how that worked, right? That
one. Yeah, but now if Microsoft, Sony, if they do something similar to the Switch, where there's touchscreen, but also you could take it on the go, I think that will work for them.
So does this? Thoughts? So should this conversation move to all of the consoles, or just in relation to what the caller is asking? Like, do you think touchscreen has a place on whether it be Xbox or PlayStation, or do you think that's just going too far?
I mean, go for it.
No, I don't want it on any of them. That includes a Nintendo product, unless it's strictly a handheld, something that you're carrying around with you that you can interact directly with the screen. Other than that, I mean, look at the DualShock 4. Just, you know, they introduced it. It was a nice attempt at the beginning of the generation to see what was going to be utilized by it. But name me a developer that is truly utilizing that touchpad on PS4 right now. No one. Other than, hey, it's just a bigger start button, you know, on the screen to be able, you know, like Destiny, for example, I just press it to bring up my ghost or whatever the case may be,
right.
Or you press it on another game to like, just bring up a menu. It's not truly being utilized to its full functionality. And I just don't think until I see a true use case for it, that is practical in a game and not just a side gimmick in a game, then I'd want to see more utilization of it. But it's not something I'm looking at going into the next generation thinking, man, I really hope Xbox designs a controller that has a touchpad on it because I really need it. I'm not seeing it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And you know what's the problem, too, that is very, very tricky? Do you remember back in the days during the Dreamcast days, they had the VMU? You remember that, Paris?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know you had that, mm-hmm. too. Now, here's the thing. It was just complicated to play a game and then look down to your controller to check out your VMU and then look at the screen again and back and forth. It was just annoying. So, and that was something similar too with the Wii U. The only reason why it's working for the Switch is because you put the Switch to the dock. You don't have to look at that screen at all. You just look at the TV screen. And then when you take it out, you're playing on the go. That's how it works. But having it two screens is just complicated, man. Unless the 3DS, that's something that works perfectly because it's right next to each other, the double screens, right? So your thoughts, you think that's complicated or what? By having something like that similar?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think you might just be taking away from the, you know, the core of the game itself, right? Because you think about it in these days, right? You take a regular controller, whether it be, you know, Xbox or PlayStation or hell, even the Switch, you're already looking at 12 to 14 buttons. Now you want to add touch screen to those. You start entering into a level of complexity that gamers may or may not want to deal with at that point, right? Now you're stopping to look at the screen as opposed to looking at the experience in front of you on the TV. Now, the Switch might be a little more different because your screen technically is right there next to the controllers. But when you go to switch and move it to the TV or to your monitor, that's when you start to lose that engagement or that that opportunity for them to be immersed into the experience that they're playing. So
yep.
I can see how it potentially could have an opportunity within the Switch ecosystem. I just don't know if I just don't know if that's something that I personally would want to see. But you know, there's people who would like that because some people just like mobile and they like having everything right there in front of you. So
I look at it this way, and tell me if I'm crazy for thinking this, but Xbox basically perfected the controller back in 2005, 2006, whenever they came out with a second revision of the 360 controller. And if you think about since that last revision of the 360 controller, sure, we've had the Elite controller and, you know, obviously the Xbox One controller. That's basically the best controller you can buy. To even today in 2018 is still that second 360 controller. You can play it on a PC, obviously play it on an Xbox or whatever, but that current button layout is pretty much the standard now. And I've not seen anything to really go beyond that and perfect it even more. Like I said, you have like your Elite controllers or your SCUF controllers, which might just do some unique custom things just with the control scheme, but the actual button layout itself, we're done. I don't know what else we're going to do that isn't going to just complicate it even more that they can really add to a controller at this point.
Yeah, because originally we had the Duke. It was a big Xbox controller, right? But I know in Japan when the original Xbox came out, they had a smaller version. And I think that's the beginning of the controller being like one of the best. I think it was started from them. That version. So yeah, I totally agree with Paris, man. So okay, let's go with the second voicemail.
Yep, here we go.
All right.
Hey Gamertag Radio, this is Ian from Columbus. I just wanted to comment on two things here real quick. First thing is the stuff you guys have talked about from episode 738 about pre-ordering games and then stuff going crickets. I find the best way to handle that is either pre-order the game when you know there's enough evidence that something's going to happen in like the next month, or that you know, you just wait till that game hits the shelves. I haven't pre-ordered a game in 11 years, and it's worked out for me. I've gotten every game I've ever wanted. And the second thing is, you know, you guys give a lot of love to PUBG, but you never really talk about Fortnite Battle Royale. You know, they're doing very similar things to PUBG, but they do it for free. And, you know, I think that game's just as fun, you know, just as intuitive. And, you know, they still have just about as many players as PUBG does. So I'd love to hear where you guys sit on, you know, Fortnite Battle Royale and how you think they're doing. Anyways, thanks. Bye.
Well, thanks a lot again for the voicemail. Paris, I know you hit me up over this weekend or this just a couple of days ago on Twitter. And every time you see that article that says Fortnite is surpassing PUBG, my Twitter timeline seems to explode.
It's just like my timeline blows up with Destiny sucks. Why are you still playing it?
All praises are due to Epic. Hell, we saw Paragon go the way of the Dodo as a result of it. And even though Paragon was a good game, I don't know if PUBG is totally dead yet, because the crowd response, I mean, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. IEM has their championship going on right now in Poland for PUBG. So whenever you can fill an arena for a game, it's doing okay. That being said, Fortnite is exploded, and I'm happy. I'm happy that PUBG has a competitor that's forcing them to take things into consideration to improve the game and the experience itself. Unfortunately, it looks like Epic has the right formula to be able to drop in changes and updates and fixes at a quicker rate or a quicker clip than what PUBG can do. But it doesn't mean that Fortnite is totally without its issues. You know, they're still dealing with a bunch of server-side issues that cause problems. But that's almost every game that's got a multiplayer component. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect game. There's always fixes. There's always improvements that people can do. So that being said, you know, shout out to Fortnite. They've got a great formula, and it's been successful for them. It's just not for me. The building meta within the game just doesn't appeal to me. I prefer the more realistic experience, as real or more as realistic as you can deal with in a video game. But I'm just not a fan of the building meta, which is the only reason why I don't focus or play it.
And it's still early access too.
Yeah.
So.
And shout out to them because it's free. Hell, I mean, yeah, who doesn't want a free a free game?
But that's why. That's why it's overtaking PUBG, because free is free. You know what I'm saying? So people are going to gravitate to that every time.
And it's not that bad. And it's a fun experience. It's a cool game, and it's free. If it was a crappy game and it was free, nobody would care. It would have gone, you know, it would have disappeared after a month or two. But it's a fun experience. Again, it's just not for Pete.
And Bluehole is partially responsible for this as well, because they acknowledged the threat early on. And anytime you tell someone to not do something, human nature is, well, I'm going to go try it now because they don't want me to. And then, like you said, it's actually a good game. So people stuck around and go, wait, this is free and I'm having fun. I'll just stick with it and keep playing it. And then obviously word of mouth has been going around now, and more people are jumping on. Hell, at my job last week, I went in the break room. We have a Xbox One in there on the big screen. And I look up, dude sitting in there at lunch playing Fortnite online. I was like, son of a gun, look at this here. People is getting lazy as hell up in this job. I need to report them.
But I think I also got to give props to Epic and Bluehole too, is because every time there's been cheaters in the game, they're always banning cheaters all the time. Well, which is good. We need that.
That's just recent, though. That's more of a recent.
Yeah, but I mean, but it was because of the feedback from the fans. Everybody's complaining, hey, you guys got to, you know, ban these cheaters. I'm having a crappy gaming experience because everybody's winning and so on. But now, are there cheaters also on the console version? Because All I've been hearing is cheaters through the PC side. Pete, can you answer that? Because I really don't.
I barely touch the console portion of it, but it's a lot more difficult to inject cheats, whether it be wall bangs or, you know, glitching where you're able to shoot through objects and stuff like that, because it's a closed environment on console. So you're not going to see it a lot more on PC because it's a lot more open system. People can actually do things to the INI file and other things within the game versus trying to break into the Xbox OS, you know, and be able to inject your cheats at that point. So you're always going to see more potential cheating on a PC versus seeing them on any console. And that doesn't matter whether it's Xbox or PS4. I mean, we saw it back in the day where people were JTAGing their consoles in order to be able to super prestige on Call of Duty and things like that. But that's more of a PC thing. I'm glad that, and it's funny because they're like, oh, we're implementing a tighter cheat, methodology in the system. But isn't that what BattleEye was there for before, to try to limit or to mitigate cheating? So at the end of the day, I'm glad that they're able to do it. I see less cheating on the first person view servers on PUBG. And I think now that the latest update allows Bluehole or PUBG Corp to actually see the 30-second screen from both perspectives of a kill when you report a player, because then it's not just, oh, I'm just going to report it because I got beat. You know, no, it's like now Bluehole has a chance to see both sides of the action. Was it client side? Was it server side? Or was it just skill set? You know, granted, it's going to make validating those reports a little more difficult. But I think it's a step in the right direction. I just hope that all this time that they're losing trying to mitigate these fixes, they're not losing on the development side, because it's an up and down, you know, battle. Do you start throwing resources at development, or do you throw them at anti-cheat or break fix things? Or are they now starting, because they've gotten so much money as a result, are they pulling in additional resources to support both? So now you've got equal development going to break fix, anti-cheat, et cetera, as well as development. They did announce earlier this week that they're going to be revealing the new map sometime in March. So we might see some stuff coming up soon. So stay tuned.
Now, I know he mentioned about pre-ordering games. We had that discussion during the last episode. Pat, you want to say anything about that too? Because, we already talked about it. I don't want to like repeat myself, but
yeah, I don't want to spend too much time. But we've talked about it in the past. Mm-hmm. I'm of the belief that at the end of the day, it's still your choice. That's purely the consumer's opportunity to do that. If you want to pre-buy or pre-sell, that's up to you. And that's not a guaranteed sell. That's just a reservation. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go with this email. This is from Jack. Shout out to Jack, man. Thanks for the email, man. Hey, GTR crew, with all the remaster or remade games out lately, do you think EA will remake the original Mass Effect trilogy? Your thoughts about this?
I know for a 98.43% probability.
4-3.
No, but I knew, let's just say, I used to know someone that worked at EA who knew that they were working on a remaster for Mass Effect. And this was some years back. And it sounds like it got dropped. And it's not going to happen anymore, but it was being worked on. That was happening, the original trilogy. They knew it for a fact and told me in confidence, but and they don't work there anymore, so I can spill the tea. But I don't think it's going to happen, in my opinion. Would I love to see it happen? Sure, of course. Why not? You know, I think people that haven't played that original trilogy to get that opportunity to go back to play it would would love to play Mass Effect. I recommend anyone to go play, especially Mass Effect 2, one of the best games ever made. But I think with the negative perception of Mass Effect right now because of Andromeda and just all the issues that it had, the fact that EA has already said, you know, we're basically putting the Mass Effect franchise on the shelf right now and we're going to concentrate on other things and then bring it back later. Mm-hmm. I don't see a remake coming anytime soon. Maybe by the time we get to the mid-2020s and we're on the next console generation and they decide to bring Mass Effect back, maybe that'll kind of be the palate cleanser, you know, and hey, let's forget about that thing we did in 2017. Pay attention to this. Remember, these old games are great, you know, and then they remix it and put it back out. Maybe that happens.
Interesting. I think that we might see this in the future because look at Burnout. They just announced a Burnout Paradise, a remake version, so a remastered version. So I can see that happening with Mass Effect and other games that came out during the last gen. Cause I think that's extra money for EA to get, man. There's still gamers that had never had a chance to play Mass Effect, so it's possible. So, do you have anything to say, Pete? No?
Nah, not really.
No? Okay.
I it'd be fun to see it. But we've all seen that Anthem right now is going to be the primary focus for EA from a BioWare perspective. I'd much rather have them dedicate all their resources to give and deliver what the expectation level is for a title like Anthem, right? I'd much rather have them put all their horses and energy towards that, make that a solid game, maybe revisit Mass Effect in the future. But focus on the here and now. Let's not worry about trying to revive or put Mass Effect back in the good graces of gamers. They've already done it with 1, 2, and for a small contingent of people, 3. Let's leave it where it's at. Focus on Anthem, and then maybe revisit in the future.
Speaking of Anthem, you guys are surprised that they're going to have it at EA Play?
No, I mean it's slated to come out early 2019, so. That tells me it's playable right now. It's in a playable state, so I'm sure they can put together a pretty polished beta for EA or for EA. Jesus, a beta. See, EA ain't at E3, so I always screw it up. But yeah, at EA Play during E3, let's say it that way. So I think it'll actually be playable. They'll probably have it'll have a big presence for sure at EA Play, because if you look at what we know EA has coming out. I'd say in the next calendar year, beyond Battlefield, what else do they really have to show other than the sports game? So this would be a huge opportunity for EA to show off Anthem, show its potential, get people excited about it, let some people at the event get some hands-on with it, and then basically tease out a beta, which I would assume would come out later this year. You know, for people to play, or early 2019, somewhere around there, and get the momentum going. Don't do what Bungie did and rush it. And they have time now to perfect it. Get feedback on Anthem, early on feedback from content creators, because I'm sure they're going to have a huge presence in shaping what Anthem's going to be, because I'm pretty sure EA is going to want Anthem to be a big stream, a game that's huge on Twitch and YouTube and all those from the streamers and Mixer. So yeah, why not? I'd actually be disappointed if Anthem didn't have a huge presence at E3 this year.
You know what will work for them, for EA, is if they have Battlefield, right, that's coming out later this year. You pre-order the game and you get a code, like you said, beta, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have it ready, maybe available around December or January. And the gamers could play for the first time, temporary, for like a weekend or a week or something like that, mm-hmm. just to hype up Anthem. I think that would work for EA. They just need to do something to hype it up. I remember when we were at one of EA's press conference years ago during E3, I think they had a beta of one of the Battlefield games available that day. People could just go and play. I think it's a little bit too early to do that for Anthem, but holiday season or early 2019, that will work for EA big time.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Voicemail or email?
I kind of want to jump into and throw in that 2 minute
anti. You want to do it,
Keon competitor?
But yeah.
Nah, we'll go in order. We'll go voicemail okay. 3 right now.
Hey GTR, Danny P in Paris. What's going on, guys? Just wanted to give you first off a quick shout out to say thanks for producing all the great content. Definitely like to listen to you guys every week. This is Leo from Las Vegas, and I was calling to ask you guys a question. Paris pointed out in a recent episode that pretty much the folks that listen to you guys are kind of more in the hardcore frame of video game followers. So with that being said, assuming that some of these followers like myself have multiple game platforms and you have third parties that are just pushing their games on these platforms, what is the benchmark that you guys kind of use, or what do you use to decide which platform you want to buy a game on? So obviously first party is a no-brainer, but with the multi-plat stuff, how do you decide which platform you want to play on? Cool. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work, and hope to hear back from you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Leo. I guess for now, in 2018, right now, my benchmark for determining third-party games is if it supports PC first and foremost. If it's supporting PC first and foremost, then I will go and play it on PC. As far as first party, obviously, you're stuck on the platform upon which it launches, right? So for whether it be, you know, Days Gone or one of those, obviously you're going to be playing it on PlayStation 4. If it's, you know, Gears of War 27 or Halo 43, obviously you're going to be on Xbox. But aside from that, at this point in time, if it comes out on PC, I'm happier. You know, I'll play it there. And it's funny because I asked my daughter the other day, while I was out traveling with Danny this week, she asked for a game on Steam that she used to play on Xbox Live, on the Xbox Live Arcade. I think it's Costume Quest or something like that. She used to love that game as a kid. And so now she's playing it again on Steam. And I asked her yesterday, I was like, so what's it like, you know, is it easier or more fun playing it now on keyboard and mouse, or would you, you know, how does the control scheme, you know, compare to controller? And she looked at me, she's like, I don't remember what it's like to play on controller anymore. So it's almost to the point where you can, it's seamless. And obviously, yeah, you can play PC games with a controller if you connected it. There's driving, I think, is still an opportunity in on PC where you still kind of need the controller. But for the most part, right now, for me at least, you know, if it's on PC, I'll be on PC.
Paris,
why couldn't you just answer the question? You just pass it over to me.
I could answer it. I'm just trying to be nice.
Like you're freaking Chuck Woolery on Love Connection, passing it over.
I could answer it right now if you want.
Well, no, now I'm talking, so I'm going to answer it. It really comes down to where your friends are, basically. I mean, on what your primary platform is going to be for third-party stuff, in my opinion. I'm similar to Pete where, you know, I'm going to go PC first because that's just where I prefer to play all my games nowadays. And I've started, look, the majority, let me take this back a little bit. So the majority of my friends have been on Xbox because Xbox Live was my primary online gaming platform going all the way back to 2002, right? Once I started getting into PC gaming, I obviously still kept that Xbox community, mostly multiplayer stuff. I have some PC friends, etc. I'd say, what do you guys say? Probably in the last 4 years or so. Obviously, when I got rid of my Xbox One, I'm not really on Xbox Live anymore. There's obviously, you know, now that we have Xbox Play Anywhere, I can still play with some of my friends on Xbox Live. But I've obviously really gotten into the Destiny community, things like that. So I have a lot of friends now on PlayStation. So console, what if like if I had to pick a console, then it would be on PlayStation where I would pick my third party games. But, you know, I've kind of forced myself, got out of my quote unquote comfort zone on the PC and started to make new friends and new connections on the PC side and grow my PC friends. So to make a long story short, to answer your question, if you already have a console that you're comfortable playing on and the majority of your friends are on, default to that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to get out of that comfort zone and make new friends on new platforms, then pick up a game on PC every now and again. Pick up a game on PlayStation every now and again. It doesn't hurt. It does not hurt to grow your friend base. And now with things like Discord, you can check us out, discord.gg/GTR. Or, you know, social media with Twitch or Facebook or whatever, you know, you can talk to all your friends at once and plan game nights no matter what the platform is. So my advice, if you own them all, play games on all of them. Why not? Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, totally agree. I still play it on Xbox. I have the thing is, and we had talked about this a couple of years ago, I just didn't want to have multiple online services. I have to pay extra, you know, so I have to choose between Xbox or PlayStation. So I decided to stay with Xbox because, you know, having the majority of my friends are there and stuff. And so I did that. And now with Nintendo, they're going to start charging pretty soon, $20 a year. I'm probably going to do that, which is not that much. But yeah, I just play where my friends are at. And also, I use Xbox One a lot because I don't have a PC, and that's how I stream my games through the Xbox on Twitch. So that's the reason why I've been playing a lot on Xbox. So, yeah. But I remember back in the days, it was different when they had multiple games available through multiple consoles. So I remember playing, there's two games that stood out to me back then, was a Mortal Kombat, the first Mortal Kombat, the Super Nintendo versus the Sega Genesis. Sega Genesis had blood, but the sound effect and graphics was kind of crappy compared to the Super Nintendo version. But the Super Nintendo version had no blood. Graphics was great. Sound was amazing, right? So I had to choose, man, did the blood matter that much? Should I go with that version? Or I should go with the one that looks better and sound better? That's one. Another one is Aladdin for the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. Sega Genesis was a better game overall. Animation was a lot better, which I think Disney was the one that worked on that. Sound was okay. The Super Nintendo version, sound was great, but gameplay-wise, it was very different, and I think the Genesis version was way better on that. So that's crazy. Back then, there was a lot of... you could tell the difference back then. Now, all the games seems the same, you know, unless you want a certain version that had like a better graphics than the consoles. So you go with a PC if you want, you know. So yeah, but that's crazy how times change, man. Like from back then, how it used to be like that, and till now. So but yeah, you want to go? You want to say anything else, guys, or that's it? We're good.
No, I think that's good. We can hit the next one.
All right, let's go.
Here we go. Voicemail 4.
GTR, what's up? This is Cole from Pennsylvania. Love the show. Second time caller with a question. I normally listen to you guys when I'm out walking my dogs, and my neighbors look at me funny when I'm walking these two bulldogs that I have, and they hear me talk about video games on the phone. But anyway, I figured y'all get a kick out of that. Question, more or less a statement. The last episode, Danny and Paris were going at it when it came to should PS4 or PlayStation rather keep teasing us with games and then not say anything about it for like eternity. You guys had said for some time, hey, call if you have thoughts about this. So that's what I'm doing, because I just looked to it. I completely, as the fan, Danny, in that it sucks when they say something about a game, and then it's like 3-4 years before anything else is said about it. But I concur with Paris on the topic as a whole from a business standpoint. You know, this business psychology of what these companies use in different marketing spheres is really fascinating to me. And I concur with Paris. PlayStation has it figured out. They're selling the consoles, and you better believe that what they're doing with these kind of teases with developers and games has to be intentional. I don't expect them to change that. It's working. Why should they? In fact, as we look at what might be coming up for Microsoft and Nintendo, I won't be surprised if we see them develop their own marketing strategies that really dig deep into playing on the emotions of the buyer. Anyway, that's what I thought. Discuss more if you guys would like. Take care.
It's funny watching the video feed and listening to these, and then when the guy says I agree with Paris, and then Paris is just like,
because he just said what I was trying to tell Danny last week. That's all I was saying. And then people are getting mad at me like I was defending PlayStation. And why are you defending? Why you keep saying 75 million? Because whatever, like it or not, and I'm on record, I don't agree with it, but like it or not, this strategy has worked for them. They get everyone excited. They lather up the crowd by showing all these titles, and people get excited about them. They strategically do not put their name on it as far as a date goes, and they can just rinse and repeat and recycle these same games year after year, keep people excited, pull in more casual people that don't follow this as closely as we do, and then when the game is ready, all right, now it's coming out April, 22nd, God of War as an example, right? Now it's out, winds up being a great game. People are excited. They sell more PlayStation 4s. It's worked. I don't personally agree with it, but it, like he said, it's business. And this business model worked. It works.
Yep. And I remember having a conversation with somebody that works in the industry. This person also, he or she listened to this podcast episode. And they said they also, companies usually do that because of the investors, and which I understand. It's, like you said, Paris is a business. So, but I know he mentioned the caller, first of all, thanks, man, for calling. I know he mentioned about if Nintendo and Xbox, are they also going to do the same in the future? Nintendo, no, because their formula is working. The Nintendo Switch is selling like crazy. So I really doubt they're going to start doing that, announcing games like that really, really early. Xbox, I don't know. I think they're in a different marketing compared to like Sony and Nintendo. So they're doing everything kind of differently compared to them. So, but yeah, I think Sony is still going to continue doing this. Watch this E3. They're probably going to announce some stuff that's coming out like in 4 or 5 years from now. So I think.
Who is PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
I bet you Xbox does the same thing.
I don't think so.
I think they do. I bet you we get a hint at this Perfect Dark and this Fable that they're working on and probably something else. And it ain't coming in the next 2 years, but they're going to announce it now.
Oh,
I bet you they do.
But that's different. 2 years is fine, Paris. Five. It could be three or four.
We don't know. We have no. They literally could have just started making Perfect Dark. Maybe the ink just dried on that and it comes 4 years from now. But I bet you they hint at it. I bet you they do.
Dude,
in that sense, see, I like to argue this. So in that sense, why is it any different? If Microsoft were to do that, how is that any different than what Sony currently does?
Again, 1-2 years, fine.
I didn't say it was 1 to 2 years. It could be 3 years. It could be 4 years from now. We don't know. You don't know.
Well, it depends. It depends. And Sony has done this. If they announce a game and the game gets delayed, that's fine. I understand. But if they announce a game, they didn't show no dates, and it's just crickets after that. I have an issue with that. Like Crackdown, it's been a couple of years, right? But the game has been delayed.
No. But I'm actually glad you brought up Crackdown, because actually Crackdown is the poster child. They have never put a year or a date on that, but they keep talking about it.
No, but usually.
So how is that different,
Paris? Paris, usually every time Microsoft announced a game, it's always a year or two.
Okay, but they've never always, put a date. Always, but they didn't come out and say Crackdown. They didn't say Crackdown 3 April 2016 and delay it. They never said that. They never put a date on it. Never.
Let me finish. Again, Paris, you go all the way through your back, do research and check out all the press conferences from Xbox. Every single one of them. Every time they announce a game, without a date, it's always been a year or two, max. The only reason Crackdown has been more is because the game has been delayed.
What about Sea of Thieves?
Right? The second year, Sea of Thieves? How many times they announced it? It's only been 2 years.
They've been talking about Sea of Thieves since 2015,
and it got delayed.
2015, I want to say.
2015, no. No way. Not 2015. Mm-hmm. Has it been 2015? No.
Keep talking.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'll look
hold
it up.
On. It got delayed. It got delayed. It was supposed to come out this holiday season that passed, but the game got delayed to now, spring, which makes sense because maybe it was bugs, and also they want more people to buy the game. 2015, yeah, but it got delayed. It was supposed to
come out.
But
they never put a date on it. But see, okay.
But that's what I'm saying.
But it's exactly what Sony is doing, though. But see, this is my point.
No, Sony, no. First of all, you have a Sony hat, so of course you're going to be saying that. But second is. Second.
Says the guy wearing the bright green jacket with Xbox on it.
but second. Dude. Microsoft has been doing that for years. Sony are the ones that are saying, we're having a game comes out. They show agents and the game has to come out. No dates, nothing. Shenmue, same thing, right? The only thing, yeah, you get updates through Kickstarter and all that stuff. But I'm talking about E3 press conference, crickets. There's no video, nothing. Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy VII, all that stuff, Paris. No date, nothing. It's been over 2 years. That's the problem I have. If Microsoft and Nintendo's been doing that, yes, I will have an issue. You're going to announce something and then just crickets. There's no updates, nothing at E3, just quiet. That's unfair. That's the thing that I've been trying to say.
Crackdown 3 did that.
Paris.
The E3 before, they pretended it didn't even exist. And people were asking, well, where's Crackdown? Why aren't they talking about Crackdown? Yeah. What's going on with Crackdown?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what happened? During E3, we even asked, I think it was Aaron asked, like, yeah, what happened with Crackdown? And he even said, it's not the right time. We had to, you know, we're going to push it because they got delayed.
How is that any different than God of War as an example? How is that any different?
With God of War? Okay, so when God of War was announced? It was 2 years ago.
2016, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
2016. It's 2 years. That's not bad.
What about Spider-Man? How is that any different than Spider-Man?
2 years.
Three.
But again, I'm just going back to the point. I feel like you're saying it's okay if Xbox has a few games that delay, but if Sony does, then bring out the pitchforks.
Because it's the history. Sony has done that more than Nintendo and Xbox. It's like, okay, day's gone. What's up? What's going on with the game? What's going on with the
obviously
game?
Obviously, it's been delayed. Like, it's the same thing as Crackdown. It's no different than Crackdown. It is very apparent that Days Gone has had a change in development and it's been delayed. It's no different. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hold them to the fire for Days Gone, but it's okay for Crackdown, which I'm still not convinced Crackdown's coming out this year, by the way. So how's it any different?
Still not convinced.
Oh, Wizard, why haven't convinced. They put a date on it then?
I don't know. You asked.
That's my point. I'm not sitting here losing sleep over it either.
All right, Paris. Every time I interview Aaron, every time he says this, every time you could check the past episodes, everything, he always will mention. Every time we announce a game, we have a date or it's coming out within 2 years. Every game, and he mentioned that is because I brought up. Hey, you know what? I mentioned. You know, I think. The games that was announced during the Sony press conference and stuff like that, and none of them have dates. Zero. All of them. None of them have dates.
And that's fine. And obviously, I would hope that's with every game. But what Aaron said, that's the policy until it isn't. Until the game doesn't meet that range, and then they push it out even further. You're basically, because you've been able to hear it from Aaron's mouth, assuming that Sony doesn't have that same policy. We don't know that. You don't know. Maybe that's their policy too. When they show a game, they expect it to come out within two calendar years. But then stuff happens and it gets delayed. Horizon Zero Dawn is a great example of that. Horizon Zero Dawn was supposed to come out way earlier than it did. It wound up getting delayed. And guess what? Still a fantastic game. Was a Game of the Year contender last year. So
of course. But it's different, Parrot. I think you probably don't understand what I'm trying to say then, I think, because there, how many of those games that, okay, all right, let me see. How many of those games that was announced at the Sony's press conference that has been delayed? Of those games that has been announced that we're still waiting, still to this day?
We don't know if they've been delayed because they've never put a date on them.
Okay, so what was the reason for Sony to show,
just an announcement, say,
Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VII Remake?
But it's just an announcement.
Now, to be fair to PlayStation, since we've turned this into a PlayStation versus Xbox thing, you need to go talk to Square. Yeah. You need to go talk to Square Enix as far as Final Fantasy goes, because they're the ones that are supposed to make it. PlayStation isn't making it.
Yeah, but come on. Of course.
Okay.
Every company.
So let's do this scenario. What if? Right? What if? So.
Yeah, go for it.
So you're telling me Square Enix comes to PlayStation. Hey, we're going to do this Final Fantasy VII remake. We would love to show it at your press conference. And Sony goes, so when do you think it'll be out? Oh, we'll have it out in a couple of years. Okay, we're going to put it out there at E3, one of our major debuts on the press conference. So they do it. Then it gets delayed. But now that's Sony's fault.
Well, first of all, it was not delayed. First of all, Final Fantasy VII has not been delayed. When has there been an announcement that game has been delayed? Please,
there hasn't been. But that's my point. That's my point. But how is that PlayStation's fault?
Yo, Sony, you think Sony's going to say, oh, it's early? No, we can't show it. You think they're going to say no?
So you now really you're assuming. So, but Paris? Now you're assuming.
This
again.
Is great for first. No. Paris is not assuming. It's a fact because it's been happening now throughout these years now, right? It's great for investors. Hype it up, right? It's great for the consumers. Hype it up when they announce it. And at the same time, it's great for the media because the media is going
to
say, oh, this is the greatest press conference.
How is that PlayStation's fault because a third-party developer hasn't put a game out
yet? Sony could easily say no.
But how did they know that at the time? How do they know that?
Are you freaking serious? Yes, you think that Sony knows what's going on with Square Enix?
What about Death Stranding? So Death Stranding is PlayStation's fault too?
Dude, yeah, but yes. Yes, that's because Sony could easily say, nah, it's too early. We're not going to show it. It's true.
Okay. I'm flipping on you.
It's great for them.
I'm a flipping
and
on you.
And if Microsoft and Nintendo does the same thing, it's bad too. It's bad. It's too early to announce a game that's only like, what, 20% done, 30% done? Why companies should show that? Why? Just to hype it up and crickets after that? Really?
So what about in 2013 at the Microsoft press conference when they literally kicked off the show showing off Metal Gear, Phantom Pain or whatever? Then that wound up getting delayed a few years. So is that Microsoft's fault or is that Konami's fault?
Okay, there's a difference.
It's Xbox.
You said delayed.
But there was never a date on it. But it didn't come out. We know now that it was delayed. But my point is they never put a date on it. And then it didn't come out till like 2.5, almost 3 years later.
Again, Paris, if it's a game that gets delayed, that's fine. That's okay.
No one ever said delayed.
It doesn't matter from any company.
But
Zelda, for example, Zelda, that game got delayed, right? It was announced early. It was announced early at the Video Game Awards. No, it's not Shuing. You guys are saying that because it's Xbox.
You're saying it because it's Xbox. I'm just pointing out that they all do it.
I'm going based on on history.
Danny got enhanced.
It's true. Because, yo, dude, I'm telling you right now, that game was delayed. That's fine. But when there's crickets and not saying anything, they show the trailer once and that's it. You'll never hear about the game ever again. That's the issue that I have. Now, if the game gets delayed and it's been announced it got delayed, then I understand. It's part of the business. They want the product to be good. But staying quiet and not saying anything, I have an issue with that, yo. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of that. And I made a mistake going to Kickstarter, pre-ordering Shenmue, because I look, it's been crickets from E3 wise. Yes,
but is so we'll use that one as an example.
Yeah,
is that Sony's fault?
I made that mistake.
Is that Sony's fault?
No, but Sony, dude, again, Sony want to hype the press conference. Of course,
they're gonna,
you're trying to have your cake and eat it too. And and that's my point.
God, you know what? I'm done. Let's move on.
No, one last thing, and then I will be quiet. It is not fair to any publisher to be held accountable for the actions of a third party. That's all I'm saying. That is it.
They can say no.
Be it Microsoft, Nintendo, or PlayStation, they should not be held accountable for what a third-party publisher does. Sure, if a third-party publisher comes to them and says, we would love to debut our new game on your platform, and they're like, yep, absolutely, go for it. And then they don't say anything, and here we are like with Shenmue or something, and it's been years, and we've heard nothing about it. You're saying that's PlayStation's fault or Microsoft's fault. That's all I'm saying. That they should not be held accountable for that. Go to the third party developer or publisher that's delaying the game and talk to them. Why haven't you talked about this? Where is it? That's what I'm saying. That's it.
Investors, media buzz, and consumer sales. That's why, Paris. That's why they're not going to say no. They're not going to say no because of that. I'm serious. You know what? I'm going to take this freaking hat off.
Oh, he's Let's enhanced go, officially now.
Let's go. I'm enhanced.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yes.
You are the most hard-headed person I know ever.
It's not hard-headed, yo. It's not. Let's be real.
He's officially enhanced right now.
It's okay.
He's got the glow and everything.
It's okay. Everybody, pre-order all your games, yo. Keep on waiting. Agent, been years.
You notice Danny's default or whatever is to bring up the agent. Wasn't that like 10 years ago at this point? He's still talking about the damn agent.
Yeah, but it's true. That's okay, right? God, don't blame Rockstar.
Right, where's this Dust game that we've been waiting for 300 years? But that's okay. Xbox has it too. Xbox has their title too.
Delayed is different than announcing a game in crickets, man. Come on. What, the game got delayed? Agents got delayed? It got delayed too, Paris? It's okay?
It's still going.
He's still going.
Anyways, last question. Let's go with last I don't care.
Are we skipping the Keon competitor?
Man, that voicemail too long, man. I don't know.
It's too long. We can save it for the next episode.
Okay. That's a whole other show just on that one.
All right, here we go. Voicemail number 6.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Eric again from Los Angeles. I just finished listening to the current episode. You guys are having a little trouble with my question. I guess I should have been more specific as to what I was talking about. But I guess in Far Cry 2, what I refer to as a gun conditioning system, I thought that's the term used for it. But basically, when you would pick up a gun, like out in the wilderness or whatever, after a while of usage, it would like jam or break, it would just straight up explode, like backfire. So I guess they had that in Far Cry 2, where you would find guns and you can only get so much usage out of it before it was unusable. So I just wanted to know what you guys' thoughts were. I don't know if you guys have ever played a game with that. I know Fallout 3 also had something similar to that, which was when you would find similar weapons of the same type, you can combine them to, you know, up their conditioning so they would last a little bit longer so they wouldn't break on you. So sorry about the confusion, but that's what I wanted to know. All right, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Eric, for your voicemail. It's funny, we actually brought that question up to Dan Hay this past week while we were at our Far Cry event. It was decided they didn't want to bring that back in. Obviously, it wasn't in 3 or 4, but if there's enough support and requests for it, that might be something that they maybe introduce at a later date. They wanted to focus more.
Yeah, we talked about Far Cry, was it 3? I think that's what, yeah, it was 3, I think it was. He brought it up.
He said 2, but okay.
Or 2, whatever. And I don't remember.
Thanks for interrupting.
I'm talking about Dan. Like, we brought up Far Cry 2 and Far Cry 3 and why the change, and yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
go ahead. Thanks for interrupting. Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah. Straight up in the middle of my conversation, he just blasted and kicked in the door, waving the 4-4. God damn, Danny. But yeah, like they said, they'll if there's enough support and want and desire for it from the community, they'll try and reintroduce it. But for right now, for Far Cry 5, they wanted to focus more on the story itself, and obviously the action and the adventure that you're going to be playing. So thank you for your question. Appreciate it.
All right. Paris was cracking up. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or radio.com. You can find us there and listen to our past episodes and make sure to spread the word. Spread the word. Tell people about Gamertag Radio. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. And if you ever get the chance, please post a review an Apple Podcast. It will help us out big time. And tonight, if you're watching this right now on Twitch, tonight the release of Gamertag Radio, a podcast story, is coming out. It's going to be totally free. You can watch it on Twitch or also YouTube after the live stream too. So make sure to tune in 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. And yeah, it's totally free. And we have a project announcement this Wednesday. More details to come.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Make sure to tune in to Gamertag Radio. It's going to be pretty cool. All right. And anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
Getting ready for the cussing.
Okay. Paris?
No, I'm good. Good episode. Nice conversation, Danny. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. That's how we do it. The older you get, the crankier you get. Yeah. That's how we do it. But shout out to everybody. 13 years. Woo! Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.